Good morning. It is May 24th, the seventh Sunday of the Easter season and also Ascension Sunday in the church calendar. And I welcome you to First Presbyterian Church of Westerville as we live stream this service this morning. Today we have Lynn Meyer with us to provide us music on the organ, and Heather Hicks is here to serve as liturgist and to give us an especially for children, which will take place a few minutes after the close of the service. And we do this so that families can view and review the especially for children throughout the week. The flowers today are given by Diana Westfall in memory of Lowell Griffith. A few announcements this morning, and that includes our worship committee is putting together a pandemic devotional and asking for your contributions. They're looking for a one-page, three or four paragraph reflection piece that will that the worship committee then will assemble and send out to the congregation. So we invite you to consider writing a piece and sending it to the church secretary. Our shelter-in-place Bible studies continue this week. We will we are studying the book of 1 John, and we'll have sessions on Tuesday morning, Wednesday evening, and Thursday afternoon, and we're studying the same scripture for each of those. I want to thank everyone who's been contributing food items to Pike County. The need continues, so if you have packaged food items you want to donate, you may do so Tuesday through Thursday this week between 9 and 3 p.m. here at the church. Today is graduation Sunday in Westerville and many of the surrounding communities, and so we want to recognize our two high school graduates, Drew Wright and Allie Dunlap, and we wish them well as they move on in life. And now let us begin our worship with Lynn's prelude.
Thank you. Let us be called to worship. We come to hear again God's word and prepare ourselves to receive God's salvation as promised through our baptism in Jesus Christ. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. God is present when every morning dawns. God brings peace in the midst of chaos. Be still and know that God is with us. Let us worship our ever faithful and loving God. Will you pray with me? God of all time and space, we come to you at this hour and in this place to worship you and to praise your name. We come with the burdens of yesterday still clinging to us. We come wondering what today will bring. We come holding on to the promise of tomorrow. Guide us through our journey of life, lighting the way when we are lost, redirecting us when we turn the wrong way, comforting us when our paths separate from those of loved ones. Teach us to trust in you as we take each and every step through life. Amen. Our scriptures this morning are both from the New Testament. The first one is from the book of Acts, the first chapter through the first through the 26th verse. And I remind you all that Acts, at least this part, is a letter. And so we will hear the address at the beginning of the book. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over the course of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Together, the crowd numbered about 120 people and said, Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle and his bowels gushed out. This became known to all the residents of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their language Hekeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, Let his homestead become desolate, and let there be no one to live in it, and let another take his position of overseer. So one of the men who had accompanied us throughout the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection. So they proposed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. Here ends the reading of the scripture lesson from Acts. I will now read a passage from Ephesians, the first chapter, the 15th through the 23rd verse. Let us listen for God's word. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Heather. Let us pray. O Lord God, as we reflect upon these scriptures here this morning, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be found pleasing in your sight. Amen. A young woman, dressed in her Sunday best, was running as fast as she could, trying not to be late for her Bible class. As she ran, she prayed, Dear Lord, don't let me be late. Dear Lord, don't let me be late. While she was running and praying, she tripped on the curb and fell, getting her nice clothes all dirty. She got up, brushed herself off, and started running again. As she continued running, she once again began to pray, saying, Dear Lord, don't let me be late, but please don't shove me again. I don't know if God has shoved you lately, but I'm beginning to think that God is giving the church a great big shove right now. Just 3 months ago, the church was making its spring and summer plans, plans for worship, plans for special events, plans for education, plans for mission, and then we tripped. And all those plans have been shoved out the window. Instead, we have been reinventing church, or at least trying to. We are worshiping online, we are wearing masks and staying 6 feet apart when a few of us do get together for one reason or another. We are making phone calls instead of home visits, and we are trying to figure out what we are going to do in the coming weeks and months ahead as society tries to reopen. And we are discovering that all of it is hard. All of which made me think of a phrase my father used to say. I'm going to rephrase it, but my dad used to tell me when I was growing up, rephrased for the current condition, one church's problems is another church's opportunity. What is a problem for us as a church is also an opportunity, only we aren't sure what that opportunity actually is. Which got me to thinking that perhaps we as a church needed to think about exactly what is the church and what we are called to be and what we are called to do in the world. To do that, I thought that since we are Presbyterian, we might begin with what the Presbyterian Church declares the church to be. In the Presbyterian Church, we are governed by a constitution which we call the Book of Order. And the Book of Order declares that the church is the body of Christ. And the purpose of the church is declared in what are known as the great ends of the church. Back in seminary, I had to memorize the great ends of the church. Actually, I had to memorize most of the Book of Order, but I managed to forget most of it as well. I do remember the six great ends of the church. The first one being the proclamation of the gospel for the salvation of humankind. The second one was the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the children of God. The third one was the maintenance of divine worship. The fourth was the preservation of the truth. The fifth was the promotion of social righteousness. And the sixth was the exhibition of the kingdom of heaven. These six declarations are what the church is called to do and what it is all about. And it seems to me that in this day when we are trying to figure out exactly how we're going to do church, it might be good to consider going back to what these great ends of the church are. So over the next several weeks, I will be examining these great ends and how we might apply them to the world and to the church we are now part of. However, this morning, I thought that before we go there, we should start even a little bit further back to the time when the church was about to be formed for the first time. That long passage from Acts that Heather read tells us about a time, the time between when Jesus left the world and ascended into heaven and before the church was born on Pentecost. This also was a time of uncertainty. This also was a time of waiting, and it was a time that had some similarities to the time we are in now. In our passage from Acts this morning, it is after Easter. Jesus has risen from the grave, and he has appeared to the disciples many times, and now he is set to leave the earthly ties and ascend into heaven. This event is marked in the church calendar as Ascension Day, which is 40 days after Easter, as our passage tells us. Ascension Day was last Thursday, and today is known as Ascension Sunday, the Sunday closest to Ascension Day. On this Ascension Day, the book Acts tells us that Jesus ordered his disciples not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father, the promise that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Only he doesn't tell them how long they have to wait. And he doesn't tell them what is going to happen when the Holy Spirit does arrive. So the disciples wait and wonder while being stuck in Jerusalem. And it kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? What I want you to notice in this story is that while what they did while they waited, the disciples didn't just hang out in Jerusalem. They did three things while they waited, three things that set the stage for the birth of the church. And we might learn from this waiting period as we wait for a birth of a new way of church now. The first thing I want you to notice is that they prayed. They might have just said, hey, why pray? Jesus has already promised us the Spirit, but they didn't do that. They spent time in prayer. They knew that God's promise was coming, and yet they still prayed. We often forget the importance of prayer, especially in our time of waiting for God. But prayer was basic to those first Christians, and it was basic to the formation of that first church. Perhaps they were remembering Jesus' parable of the persistent widow who repeatedly petitioned an unjust judge. Jesus' point in that parable was that we too should be persistent in our prayers. Prayer is our connection with God and our connection with each other. When we pray on behalf of others, we join with them in what's happening in their lives. We join in their suffering. We join in their joy. We join in what life is all about for them. So more than anything else, this time of disease and quarantining and limitations should be a time of praying. We should pray certainly for the suffering, for the overworked, for the unemployed, for the grieving, but we should also pray for God to give the church and Christians direction in this time. Pray for insight into what this time should be all about as the faithful. Pray that God's Spirit will point the way for the church and be a beacon of light in the dark, dark world. The second thing I want you to notice in this passage from Acts is that the disciples studied the scriptures. Acts tells us that those first disciples did not understand the role that Judas had played in all that had happened. But Peter went to the scriptures and found there in the Psalms understanding, and he shared that understanding with his fellow disciples. Again, the disciples didn't understand what God was doing, and so they went to the scriptures to find answers. And so should we. In these difficult times, when we aren't sure what is going on and what we should do, the Bible holds answers for us. We will find those answers by careful and prayerful study. So for all of us, this is a time when we need to open our Bibles, read the teachings found therein. You certainly can read the Bible on your own, but it is often better and more understandable to read it with others. For this gives you a chance to discuss the difficult parts and maybe gain a few new insights into what you're reading. You can join our shelter-in-place Bible studies, join one of the many online studies that are available, or even just find a friend who will read the same passages as you do and discuss them with you afterwards. Any way that works, for it is through the scriptures that we find ways to understand our world and to navigate the church of tomorrow. The third thing I want you to notice in this passage from Acts is that the disciples went to work. The disciples noticed that with the departure of Judas, they were short one of the 12 disciples. So they called the first business meeting of the church, and in that business meeting chose a replacement disciple for Judas. The disciples saw that there was work to be done, and they didn't wait for the Holy Spirit to come. They went to the task that they saw needed to get done and did it. In our day and age, we may not know exactly what the church will be doing a week from now, a month from now, a year from now, but we do know that there is work that needs to get done right now. We have a group looking into upgrading our ability to live stream our worship. We have deacons calling on our members, especially our more isolated members. We have people who are doing the same thing on their own, calling a fellow member just to check up on him. We have members who are making masks and others who are delivering those masks to those who need them. Some have run other errands for church members or neighbors, other essential things that have to get done. We have people who see a need and are meeting the need. And while we are doing these things, we are learning how to be the church in a new time. It is on these experiences that we are building the church that we will have tomorrow, whatever that tomorrow may be. Maybe God is showing us towards a new future. A future that I plan to explore in my sermons in the weeks ahead as I look at the great ends of the church. And if God is shoving us towards a new future, then we are continuing to run towards it. Sure, we are stumbling from time to time, but each time we are getting up, brushing ourselves off, and moving ahead again. And as we work towards an unknown future, as we study what that future might be like, I ask that everyone pray for God to give to us a triumph, to bring us triumphantly into that glorious future, all the while praising God. Amen. As we come before God in prayer, before we do that, though, I think we would do good to listen to a hymn that Lynn will play on the organ for us. And the hymn is "More Love to Thee." Say, we will stumble and get back up. We come to our time of prayer and we have several prayer concerns. This day, Eric Fredrickson is at St. Anne's Hospital and Dave Cameron is at OSU Hospital. Bob Smith is home from the hospital but not doing very well. Melody Balzer asked for prayers for her brother and his fiance. Fiance has tested positive for COVID-19, and they live in New Hampshire. We've gotten word that a former member of our church, Chris Tickner, is in kidney failure in need of a kidney transplant. We also had a request for prayers for Tom, who is undergoing heart tests, Pat, who is getting tested for cancer, and for Helen, Fran, and Sandy, who all have ovarian cancer. And we want to include in our prayers, once again, our high school graduates, Drew Wright and Allie Dunlap. This is also Memorial Day Sunday, and on this Memorial Day weekend, we remember our church members who have died since the last Memorial Day, and we will ring the bell for each name that is read. And here are the names of the members who have died since last Memorial Day. Louise McCoy, Joan Moon. And we also remember by tolling the bell other family members and friends who have died since the last Memorial Day, and we will ring the bell for each name. William Beeman, Dave Beeman's brother. Esther Rohrer, Pat Beeman's mother. Della Walters, friend of Eric and Marge Fredrickson. Carol Fredrickson, Eric Fredrickson's aunt. Beth Hodges, a friend of Elaine Foley. Helen Stout, friend of Elaine Foley. Kay Lackey, friend of Elaine Foley. Ed Maynard, Mary Place's brother. Jim Place, Bob Place's brother. Todd Jones, Sue Lample's cousin. Pat Hunt, Sue Lample's brother's wife. Chuck Bentley, Heather Hicks' grandfather. And Terry Tate, colleague of Heather Hicks. Having heard the bell being rung, let us come together in prayer. Eternal God, we open our hearts and our minds to you in prayer on this Memorial Day weekend. We remember those men and women who died in the service of our country and give thanks for the continuing sacrifices of all those who serve in our armed forces. In this difficult time, we are acutely aware of the challenges facing first responders, medical personnel, and essential workers, and all who risk their lives for the rest of us. We offer our prayers on behalf of those who have died in such service and ask that you may protect and guide those who continue on in their work. As the country begins to open up after our long lockdown, we offer prayers on behalf of those going back to work, thankful for the employment and yet many fearful for the risks brought on by that employment. Protect them as they go back to their line of work. Merciful God, we ask your blessings upon all who are on our heart this day, those who are grieving losses, those who are battling disease, those who are facing surgery, those who are overworked and overwhelmed, those who do not have any work and are underwhelmed, those who are isolated and lonely, those who are fearful and afraid. Comfort all and shine the light of hope in all our lives. Eternal God, on this Memorial Day weekend, remember those close to us who have died. We especially remember warmly those who have died in the last 12 months. We remember and honor them this day. Comfort those who grieve the loss of their loved ones, and let your healing be the hope in their hearts. Hear our prayer this day and help us to find your peace. We pray all this, and coming together we join in prayer, saying that prayer that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, may you go on this beautiful day. Enjoy it. And go knowing the Spirit of God goes with you, wherever you go, wherever you are, this day and always. Amen.